Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 465 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. And coming up on the show today, we'll be hearing from Max Stainton all about his trip to the base camp of Mount Everest as part of Riding for the Disabled's promotion work. Also, we'll be hearing from Daniel Ryan about his role in the box set of Innocent, the ITV show, which is now available to buy. The Commander of Magic, Chris Commander, will be joining us to let us know about his forthcoming show. It's part one of a series looking back at magic over the years. In addition to all of that, we have music that's coming from Ryan Evans. We'll be having a chat with him and hearing some of his work. But first of all,
Hat and World have some swashbuckling pirate fun all next week. To tell us more, I'm joined now by somebody who's got more names than I've got funny hats. It is Zuby, it's Shane West, or in the case of next week, it's Davy Jones. Hello, sir, how are you doing?
Hello, yes, doing really well, thank you. Very excited about what's coming up next week.
Yeah, well, Hat and Adventure World, great place to get along to. All sorts to see down there, because you've got everything from the farm, the fairground attractions, all the indoor stuff, the outdoor stuff, and the fact that families can just come along and enjoy a day together down there. But you're adding to that with a pirate festival that runs from the 26th of May through to the 3rd of June.
That's correct, yes. We've got three great shows every day. So you can go online and book online of what time show you want to come. So if you're just coming for the morning, you can come for the morning. But not only just the shows, we've got pirate battles going on and treasure hunts and lots of piratey stuff, as well as all the other stuff around the farm as well, like, you know, the scales and tails and everything else as well. So there's loads to see and do for all the family.
Yeah, we're including the guinea pig farm as well.
Oh, the guinea pig village, yes. You've got all the animals that you can feed and the guinea pig village. You've got tractor rides. You've got a gold rush. There's lots and lots of things. And falconry displays as well.
So it's a really great place to come to. And maybe just a little bit further south than some people might think of going normally, but that means it's something new to the kids. They're going to have a brilliant time exploring somewhere a little bit different. And just outside Warwick, so not a million miles away from Wolverhampton at all.
No, not at all. It's just off junction 15 of the M40, I believe. So, yeah, if you're coming from Wolverhampton, straight down the M42, onto the M40, off at junction 15, and you're a couple of miles away. That's all it is.
And you've got something for all the family there. There's lots that goes on. So it's well worth checking out the Adventure World and the shopping village, which is next door. And is this where you get all your pirate outfits from?
No, unfortunately not. No. But there is certainly clothes shops here and other shops as well that certainly cater for everybody as well. You know, you've got sweet shops for the kids, as well as jewellery shops with all bespoke jewellery items and clothes shops and everything, really. Food shops, everything. Garden centre as well, so
it's all good. You can't go wrong. Sounds like a full day out, whatever you do. So if people want to come down there and enjoy the whole of the pirate experience, you say booking in advance is the best way of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you go online at hattonworld.com and then, you, like I say, just follow the event, upcoming events, I think it is, on the page, and you'll see Pirate Festival, all the links there, and all bookings are straightforward as that, really. Choose your time of the show that you want to come to, and there we go.
And the good bit is, simple all the that. Shows are included in your ticket, aren't they? So there's nothing extra to pay for
when you get there.
It's
all included. Yeah, it's all included. Just come along, you know, once you've paid, you've got your time, you just come along and enjoy the show. Absolutely, yeah. It's a great brand new show this year as well. We've got a whole new scenery set, which is absolutely out of this world this year. It's looking really, really good. Really sets the scene.
And yeah, a great way of enjoying the pirate adventure. So what's your favourite bit of being a pirate?
The treasure. It's got to be the treasure.
So as Davy Jones, this means you must get a locker to keep all your treasure in. And have you tried sneaking that home after work? Is that allowed or is that not?
Yeah, well, I don't want to give too much away in the show, but like I say, there's the scenes of action, there's scenes of everything else. The best thing to do to experience it really is come along and have a look yourselves, and you won't be disappointed. Absolutely not. And it doesn't matter what weather is either, because, you know, they've got a lot of undercover stuff here as well as outdoor things as well. So, rain or shine, it's a place to be.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get on a bank holiday half-term week in the UK. But as you say, guaranteed there'll be something to do, whether it's indoors, outdoors, swashbuckling fun, all the way for the Pirate Festival for Whitsun half-term. That's at Hatton Adventure World. Hatton World is what you're looking for. Sticker.com on the end of that. Or you can give the box office a call on 01926 01926 843 411. That's 01926 843 411. Always better to book in advance and get yourself down there that way, but of course you can just nip along and go straight to the gate. Postcode for that one, CV35 8XA. That's CV35 8XA, and as Shane says, it's just off the motorway, isn't it? It's not too far at all.
No, it'd be great to see you all there. Yeah, come along and have some fun.
Shane West, thank you for joining us, and I'll let you go back to do some pirating and looking for your pet parrot now, okay?
That's my pleasure. Thank you.
In a moment of time, we'll hear from Ryan Evans, but first of all, let's take a listen to one of his tracks. This is All Eyes.
You're not alone.
Ryan Evans has been working the music scene in Wolverhampton for much longer than his youthful looks would imply. He's with me now to tell me more about what's going on. Hello, sir.
How's it going, mate?
It's all good with me, and you've been working hard on loads of different stuff, so I trust you were finding you well too.
I have, mate, yeah. I've been gigging non-stop, really, since last time we met.
And now that's probably... 2013, you did some stuff at Molyneux with us.
On the pitch. Boxing, yep. It was Boxing Day, wasn't it?
Yep, and you performed down there, so that was good.
That was really
and,
good, yeah.
But between now and then, I mean, what's going on? For those who haven't had the potted history, give us the back catalogue on new music.
Right, so I was in a band called Clock Tower.
Yep.
We did gigs all around the country. Very Wolverhampton influenced.
Mm-hmm.
That split up, unfortunately. And then moved on with a solo project. And what I've been doing recently is playing pubs, clubs, venues, events, festivals all around the country. It's getting me mush everywhere, basically.
Well, absolutely. But it's that the face and the music and it all coming together and the hair, obviously. That's quite an important part of the gig.
Very long now.
Yeah.
I think last time I seen you, it looked like I had a bit of a... I don't know what was going on at the top. It was a bird's nest.
It was impressive.
Yeah, and a leopard print jacket, which I've lost now.
Yeah, so but that was a big part of the look for a while, was it?
Yeah, 70s, wasn't it?
Well, it all works.
Yeah.
Where are you musically then? I mean, if you're enjoying the 70s look, but what's actually the sound? How would you describe it?
I've been listening to a lot of blues.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been listening to Tom Petty quite a lot, a bit of Nick Drake, Bob Dylan. You know, slightly different to what I kind of was brought up on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only so much Beatles I can listen to. There's only so much Stone Roses, Oasis, The Kinks, even though I love those bands. I have got a rabbit actually called Ringo.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm still
got the Beatles thing going
Beatles
on there. That works.
So that's love and all that. But mainly just, you know, moving forward, because I think it's really important for an artist to move forward and not get stuck in.
Because the music, the creativity, all of that, and that means you have got quite a back catalogue of stuff. And are you still doing some of the old Clock Tower songs as part of your set? Because you were there making
Unfortunately,
them.
I did try and shake that off.
Mm.
I don't know why I shouldn't have, but everyone was like, can you play a Clock Tower tune? And I was like, come on, man, do you want to listen to this tune? Like, no, we want Kiss Your Glass, we want Naughty Little Ed,
mm-hmm.
Lucy Ella. So recently I've been putting them into the set. Going down a storm.
You've kind of got to do your own best.
It still gets the party going.
Yeah, you know, so. It is music which people enjoyed, and you made a name for yourself as that. And sometimes these things don't quite work out. I mean, every band at some point takes a bit of a hiatus in some way or form.
Yeah.
You just think of yourself as the modern day One Direction.
This is the second interview you've mentioned One Direction.
You haven't
mentioned it, but someone else did. We nearly walked off set for it.
I'm joking, so that's okay. But what are you doing as far as pushing music out there at the minute? Have you got your Bandcamp or iTunes or Spotify?
Yeah,
or
all my music's on SoundCloud.
Yeah, yeah.
And on iTunes as well. I've got about 5 singles out released up to date. I've just released a song called Face of the Party.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got a blues kind of bit C6 Steve going on.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I don't play a guitar with one string, but it's just something different, yeah. And I've got a new track that I've just recorded with Ryan Pinson at RML Studios just down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's called Move Along, and that lends its ear to more Northern Soul and like a Motown kind of vibe.
Because you don't have that look, but you have that sound when you want to be in that genre.
Yeah, I mean, you see me like this now, but then I'll have my hair slipped back.
You can wear the Northern Soul T-shirt as well.
I'll have some flares on, and then I might have some trackies on with a top knot.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's me. Forever changing, man.
Whatever happens, happens. Yeah. Okay, so give us the details on Facebook and everything like that where people can find it.
So Facebook, it's Ryan Evans Official.
Yeah.
So Facebook/Ryan Evans Official, and you get me on Instagram at Ryan Evans UK.
So check it all out.
Drop me an email, ryanevans@hotmail.com.
Yeah, basically book you, get you onto a gig, and what have you got on the way?
I play everywhere. I'm happy to play functions, pubs, you know, anywhere that anyone wants me, really.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I'm playing and I'm still doing what I'm doing and I'm making people happy,
makes you happy.
I'm there, yeah.
So okay, so
I'll never stop doing it, put it that way.
Gigs on the way, though, this coming next week or so?
This Thursday, I'm playing at Ashley's Bar in Shrewsbury,
mm-hmm.
9 o'clock. Saturday, I'm playing at the Rock and Fountain in Shrewsbury. So
mm-hmm.
I'm always in Shrewsbury. They love it in Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
Sunday, Oswestry.
Western
Clubhouse, And Monday, I'm playing at Albert Shed in Shrewsbury as well.
So all that going on.
So
right,
it's all going this weekend.
But keep checking the Facebook page and everything, and you can find out.
Yeah, just get in touch, drop me a message, and get involved with it.
Okay, enjoy the music. Right, we're going to take this to track. What are you going to play?
face of the party.
Okay, so we'll take a listen to this one now. But for now, Ryan Edmonds, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Cheers. Nice one.
Part miniseries from ITV Innocent arriving on DVD on the 21st of May. It's going to be one to sit down and enjoy a brilliant box set. To tell us more about the show, Daniel Ryan. Hello, sir.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Sort of buzzing. What can I tell you?
It's what you can't tell me as much as anything else, because it's brimming with suspicion, secrets and lies. But this new thriller is going to treat audiences, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously, we've been out on the telly now. People have responded phenomenally well. It's the story of David Collins, who gets released from prison after 7 years for the murder of his wife. And we have to find out whether he did or he didn't do it. There are lots of different suspects, and also it's about him reintegrating into life in a town where nobody wants him back. He's released on a technicality, and therefore nobody believes that he's innocent. So that's what the show's about.
So, four-part thriller, and it's going to be well worth a watch. If you missed it on TV, or if you just want to sit down and watch the whole thing again, the DVD is the way to do it from Acorn Media International. And the cast is a massive lineup. And you guys have worked on all sorts of different shows across the BBC and ITV and through onto Sky. Have you ever worked with any of this team before, or was it quite nice to work with some faces that you knew and get to know them for the first time?
Yeah, no, a really good mix of people I know and people who I was meeting for the first time. So Lee Ingleby, we worked together in the very first series of Jimmy McGovern's The Street. So we go back a little way. And Hermione Norris, we were actually at drama school together.
Oh, cool.
We did our training together. We worked together in plays all through our drama school. So, and we've worked together since then as well. So it was really, really nice to have that. And great people like Nigel Lindsay, who I'd never worked with before, who we often got for a lot of the same parts. So it's always interesting to meet people who you've felt are your nemesis, mm-hmm. but then turn out to be really nice people.
That's cool. Yeah, everybody gets on well, but you're still going to fight for those same roles. And that works. But I mean, for you, a thriller is a good bit of fun, particularly after doing something like Mount Pleasant, the comedy drama for quite a while. So
I know
it's maybe a bit of a more serious side to what you get up to.
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, people often say to me, you know, I didn't expect you to be in this innocent thing, Dan. You know, you're a comedy actor. And I go, no, I'm not a comedy actor. I'm just an actor. And if you give me the right material, I'll do with it, hopefully, what's meant to be done with it. So, we did 7 years of Mount Pleasant, which was a brilliant sort of 3-4 months at the beginning of every year. And then I've kind of diversified. Innocent was one of those things that came in between Mount Pleasant 6 and 7 and was kind of completely different and just an absolute joy to do.
Yeah, nice to be involved in the project, and obviously you can't give anything away, but it's good when there's a conclusion as well. With ongoing series, you get your storylines and you get little bits which finish off and new seeds set for a new season. But it must be intriguing, you know, for you to be able to sit down, and sometimes you don't even know quite how it's going to work out. You've got the script, but you don't know what's going to happen in the final cut. And was that the case here, that it was quite exciting for you to sit down and watch the show as well?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely was, because, you know, there's material there at the end of episode 4 that could easily have been redirected elsewhere, and the script could have been changed, and massive editing could have been done if we hadn't quite pulled off what we were meant to pull off, and, you know, all of that. So when you're watching it for the first time, it's always sort of your heart slightly in your mouth for many other reasons than an audience generally has, because you're just hoping that you're still in the show.
Yeah, and on the cutting room floor. I'm sure that's never happened to you. The performances you put in were going to keep you in the story pretty much every time. But it's gripping and surprising as well. And that, again, it must be refreshing knowing that the quality is there in all the work that you do. Some people aren't as lucky as the roles that you get.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I have a blessed career, really, really good. I'm saying that. I'm completely out of work at the moment. I'm hoping the phone will start ringing quite soon, but the life of an actor. But yeah, I mean, the work that I do that does seem to come my way is diverse, it's challenging, it's and always seems to be really liked by the audience. I'm one of those actors who, very luckily, in the street, if anybody does ever recognize me, they always say, oh, I don't know what your name is, but I love everything that you do. And, you know, that's thrilling to be told that, because those are the projects I try and pick if I get lucky enough to be able to pick them. And it's great to get that response that it's paying off. I want to entertain people, but I also want to do great work. So I get that lovely mix.
And I like the fact that you are, as you say, one of those actors where the picture comes past, ah, yeah, it's him, he's that one who does that. And it is, I think, more of a compliment, people not knowing your name, because sometimes if people know an actor's name, it means they're not necessarily the best actor because they stood out for the wrong reasons. Whereas you're one of those guys who is there as part of a cast, and you're part of the whole show, and you become the fabric of it. And I think that's great, and it's good to know it's that sort of people, the jobbing actors that really make a difference to telling a story. And it must be great being a storyteller.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Give us you know, we all want the brilliant stories to tell. That's kind of where it all goes back to. I think the early stages of when actors started acting, there were storytellers, and that's what we love doing, pretending to be someone else as part of the bigger picture, as part of, you know, I'd love to see what the result is of any drama that I'm in, the effect it has on an audience, and just telling great stories. It's always about the writers. Give a good actor a brilliant script and it will go, you know, somewhere else. And that's all we're ever looking for is those great scripts, those great words to say.
Well, I've missed this so far, so I'm looking forward to seeing it on DVD, courtesy of Acorn Media International.
Yeah.
Innocent, available 21st of May. So make sure you get your copy through your usual DVD stores. You can look on Amazon and all the rest, but search for Innocent and you will find it that way. And grab this ITV box set. Daniel Ryan, thank you for joining us, and we're hoping that the next call will be your call for another brilliant job.
It's ringing now. I've got to go.
Go for it. Cheers, mate. See you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
This June, Chris Commander is out on the road. There is magic involved, and he's here now to tell me more about it. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, good to have you along. And here we are in the rehearsal space you've been using.
We are,
and
yes.
It's magic, but not quite as we know it.
Yeah, not quite as we know it. It's a theatre magic show. Mm-hmm. I was... Ben Field, the director of this show, came to me and asked if we could do a theatre sort of lecture.
Yeah.
And all about magic. And the idea was that I would talk about the history of magic and whatnot. But I didn't want to sacrifice the love of theatre that I have and the acting
stuff. I'm used to seeing you doing acting stuff all over the place.
Yes.
And you've done this across the Midlands, across the country, across the world, in fact.
Across the world.
So that's a starting point. But equally, I have realised on your Facebook profile, it does say actor and magician.
It does indeed.
Is this aspirations for joining the Magic Circle, or is there more going on here?
I think there's a bit more going on than what people realise. I mean, a lot of people know me first and foremost as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is, while I wasn't getting paid for acting, magic has been a massive part of my life ever since I was very, very little. And it's something that I've kept up and continued to practice, and the dexterity involved and all that kind of stuff. And it's something that helped me endless times, especially to do with rent, when I was low on rent. And I went, let's do a bit of a gig. And we do a gig and get hired by a bunch of people. Word of mouth gets around.
And there wasn't a large number of watches that got liberated at this sort of thing, was there?
No, I'm not so much a pickpocket as a blower of minds.
Okay, right. Well, we'll come to that in a moment this time. So there's Ben. He's got this idea.
Yes.
And then you come along and you're going to be working on this with him. So there's the story behind some magic.
Yes.
And then some magic itself.
Yes.
Okay, right, now you have to explain fully what the show
is.
Okay,
so the show is called The Commander of Magic.
Yeah.
And it is a 12 live chapter series all about 200 years of magic history. So it starts in the Victorian times. The mm-hmm. first chapter, The Mysteries of the Macabre, starts right at the start of the Victorian era.
And this is the show that is on the road during June?
Correct, yes. So there are four shows in June and it is the Chapter 1, Mysteries of the Macabre.
Okay, so we know there are another 11 still to follow.
Yes.
And do we have a timescale for all of this yet?
No, I kind of want to see where it goes, if it blows up, if we're gonna continue doing Chapter 1 for a while and get that repartee with everyone and make it well known.
I can feel a DVD box set coming on here.
Oh, maybe there's some sort of a series talked about. But yeah, it started off as wanting to do something that people would go and see a theatre show,
mm-hmm.
They'd see magic, and they'd also leave with some history of magic, which doesn't happen very often when you go see a stage magic show.
Yeah, it's often sleight of hand, and that's about it. But
right.
Equally, when you're doing a stage magic show, there's often a bit more involved than the sort of magic most people come in touch with, and that's table magic when they go to a restaurant. So
yes.
Is it going to be a bit of something between the two?
It's...
Do we have dolphins and giant cages and things involved? Come on.
No, we don't have any mermaids or dolphins or anything like that. It's actually a very interesting comment because I'm doing a lot of stuff in this show that I've never done before. Mm-hmm. I'm very known as a close-up magician, usually to do with cards, and to do something this big and grand is something that I've always wanted to do, but never had the opportunity to do, and... It's been tough. It's been really tough doing a lot of magic research
mm-hmm.
because I've tried to keep it so there's a story element to it as well. You're not going in, you're not just seeing a bunch of tricks as you would if a magician were to come to your table at a restaurant. You'd see rapid succession of tricks. So it's tricks interlaced with story, interlaced with history.
And all of that with some big props or medium-sized props? Or
There are some historical props
uh-huh.
in it that have to do with magic history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to give you enough.
We cannot give the game away. That's the thing. When you come along to this, it is going to be not only inspirational, magical, but that bit of history. And we can't share that now because you want to make sure that's special on the night.
I want to keep it. We've started sort of a campaign, which is, can you keep a secret?
Mm-hmm.
So my address to the audience
mm-hmm.
is that when you come see the show, that you leave and you don't tell anyone what it's about in terms of the stuff that's in the show.
Tell them how good it is. Tell them to come along and see it.
Yes.
But don't share the secrets.
No secrets. So I like the idea that my audience that comes every night gets to see a slightly different show every night because there's a lot of audience interaction. And so a lot of stuff is different because people have different thoughts, people have different ideas throughout the show. And when I ask someone to say, think of a city in their mind, people will think of different cities. Uh-huh. And so the idea is that even if you come see the show twice, the story element will be there, the magic history will be there, and you'll go away and learn all that kind of stuff. But the show itself, in terms of magic, will be something different every night.
Okay, I'm intrigued. When people come along, they don't have to worry. They're not going to be forced to participate or do chicken impressions.
Absolutely not. No, they are not going to do chicken impressions.
You may do at some point.
I probably, yes. Yeah, so people will be asked up on stage, and it will be a very, hopefully it will be a very relaxed atmosphere that they will find themselves wanting to participate. There's a mix of psychological stuff going on in the show. There's a mix of magic, and there's a mix of the macabre.
So the macabre we probably won't touch on here either, but at least something you would come along and make the most of during the show.
Absolutely.
So how do people get along, get tickets, and what are the costs?
The easiest way to do it is to go to thecommanderofmagic.co.uk. Click on the shows tab and you'll see a list of the shows. You book now and it will take you to the show's website, and you can book your tickets from the venue's website.
And remind us of the dates.
The dates are, we start the tour on the 8th of June in the Blue Orange Theatre. We are here on the 14th and 15th at Highbury Theatre, and the 16th we are in Bridge North at Theatre on the Steps.
So all fantastic venues, a great way of seeing a fantastic show. And after this tour, of course, there's the documentary as well, and this is going to be available to download and view online.
There is. If you go to Amazon, if you have Amazon Prime, it's absolutely free. If you don't, you rent it or buy it or whatnot. And yes, it is called The Commander of Magic, Prologue, Becoming the Commander of Magic.
So give us the web address again where people can go along and get tickets for the shows.
Thecommanderofmagic.co.uk.
So nip along there, or if you can't get to any of the venues, just pop along and see this on your Amazon account and do it that way. On the screen, in the corner of your front room. Just enjoy Chris there doing his stuff on stage. Chris Commander, as ever, a joy to speak to you. Thank you again.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
After dark, the
Max Stainton is the first person with cerebral palsy to trek to Everest Base Camp on horseback. This is with the assistance of Riding for the Disabled. I'm joined now on the line from RDA, their Chief Executive, Ed Brasher, and, of course, Max Stainton. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Max, you've done something I wouldn't even dream of doing already, so tell us a bit of how this came to pass.
Well, you're a smarter man than I am. This is a trek 2 years in the making. Like, yeah, I've always wanted to do something outrageous, push myself to the limit and change perceptions, and also raise money for an amazing charity, Running for the Disabled Association. And I thought, hey, why not I try and trek up to Everest Base Camp on a horse? We found out it's possible, and I've just become the first person with cerebral palsy to do that, all in aid of RDA, which is an incredible charity that I've been running with since I was 5 years old.
Now, cerebral palsy, obviously a debilitating condition, affects your ability to move.
Yes.
You sound like you're just treating this as a slight inconvenience, though, to be honest, mate. Come on, what's going on?
I think that's just my persona. Yeah, I use a wheelchair to get around. But yeah, what it means is, I mean, so it doesn't affect me mentally, but it physically affects me greatly. So, I mean, I need help walking, I need 24-hour care, I need help with showering, getting dressed, brushing my teeth, you know, all the stuff that everyone takes you know, for granted on a day-to-day basis. Those are the things that I really struggle with, because my body is constantly fighting against me to stop me from doing these quite basic things.
Yeah, nothing basic about this ride to Mount Everest Base Camp. And through the positivity created through Riding for the Disabled, it must make a massive difference for those moments when you can do something which is, not just normal, but hyper-normal, that you can go off and do something special.
Completely. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to do this if I hadn't been riding with RDA. I'm now a very proficient rider, thanks to RDA, and it's precisely because of that I knew that if I could ride up a mountain, any mountain, then I'd be able to do it one way or another. I've had a lot of training over the last year and a half to allow me to get fit and get ready for effectively endurance riding, which is just riding day in, day out. It wouldn't be impossible, full stop, without RDA.
Aside of the fact that this is a great challenge to take on, that training has made you better prepared for the rest of what goes on in your life.
And completely.
I know you need the care and the help, but you're going to need care and help either a slightly lesser degree, or it's going to mean that your life is physically better because of this as well.
Exactly. Riding, the reason why I started it is because riding is a massive therapy for me. It helps me so much. It loosens my muscles out. It relaxes me. It allows me to stand up straighter and taller and walk faster and longer. It's an incredible therapy. So all that training and just being on the mountain and riding for so long, that has, I've gained so much core strength and so much ability that I'm now going to be able to carry that on, into my working life and into my life in general, to improve my quality of life, absolutely.
Ed, as we look towards the 50th anniversary of the RDA, this is obviously a big piece of work that needs to keep going for people in Max's situation, where it can really make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. We work with about 500 centres and an army of volunteers right across the UK. So very excited to be developing this national centre in Warwickshire, which will really, really support us. We know that there's much more demand for our services than we can meet, and being able to inspire more volunteers and get more people going. And Max's story is absolutely a brilliant example of that, is really what we're about for the next 50 years.
Do you know how many people you've actually helped so far? Have you got some sort of metrics how many lives you've actually changed?
We don't know. We know that we're working currently with about 27,000 people, and that number's been steadily growing for the time that we've done this, and that's all ages, all levels of ability. So not everyone can ride to Everest, but we can get people doing things that they never thought they'd be able to do when they start off with us.
Exactly. One big reason why we're doing this is just to actually get the name of RDA out there, and so let people, even more people, know that this is a therapy, this is a benefit for disabled people, and something that they should try out. And obviously we don't know how many people have done that, but I've been reached out now numerous times by people who have heard about my story, have a disabled child in their family, and are now thinking about taking them to RDA because they've now found out about the benefits of horses. It's really, really fantastic.
Well, it sounds like an amazing story. I mean, congratulations, Max, in itself. I mean, for just what you've done there.
Thank
absolutely
you.
Brilliant work on that. And obviously, I'm sure you'd pass on your thanks to the team from RDA pretty much every single day of your life for everything that that's allowed you to be able to do. Where do we find out more? Because we're looking to people to donate as well, aren't we?
We are, absolutely. So rda.org.uk is the RDA's main page. You can also check out the trek itself at Riding Everest. We're on social media, so you can look at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And yeah, if you want to donate and support both Riding Everest and, more importantly, RDA and the National Training Centre, then just Google Riding Everest Donate, and that'll take you straight to our donation page where all the money goes to RDA.
Check out all the details there and make a difference to somebody else's life the same way as Max has had this opportunity to improve his situation. Max Stainton and Ed Brasher, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
That's your lot for this week. Back with episode 466 next week. We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.